In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you are a fan of country music, you probably know the song by Garth Brooks, "I've Got Friends in Low Places." While the song itself is not particularly edifying, the title is a good paraphrase to our gospel this morning. To have friends in low places means that you have crossed the boundaries that separate us from our neighbors, despite the social consequences. And to call one who is despised or shunned by others friend, it's to lie at the heart of the Christian ethic and imperative. It's both a privilege today and a challenge to talk about the text of the parable of the Good Samaritan. If I were to choose one Bible story that encompasses the entire gospel message, it would be this story. But its familiarity causes us to maybe dismiss its transformative power. And in the context of this very complicated and difficult week, I think this parable has something to teach us. What gives this story meaning and purpose for us is not in how we understand it, but how we live it as we walk out those doors today. For those of you who've been around the Christian faith for a while, I'm sure this isn't the first time you've heard this account. We listen from the comfortable perspective of the merciful Samaritan who chooses to come to the aid of his neighbor in need. I'd like to think if I met a stranger on the road who had been beaten down by life, that I would stop and do everything I could to help. But let's be honest, many of us are likely to have good, logical reasons, like the priest and the Levite, to stay at a safe distance from trouble. While acknowledging that there is a need, our fears often cause us to decide that the risk is too great to get involved. Little by little, we're desensitized to the suffering around us. Walls that we erect for our own sense of safety, they limit us. They limit our vision and our capacity for mercy. How easily then we miss the opportunities to do love. But Jesus calls us up short this morning in this subversive story. Jesus not only defied the social boundaries of his time, he also crossed Judaic law. The lawyer in this story meant to test Jesus was actually a faithful Jew and was hungry to know what was entailed in the faithful life. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in true rabbinical style, Jesus asks him another question. What's written in the law? The lawyer repeated a basic teaching of the Torah. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus replied, "Do this, and you will live." So simple and profound, yet the lawyer pressed, hoping to get clarification. And who is my neighbor? I suspect he was trying to get Jesus to define who he was not required to love. Instead, Jesus told him a story that illustrated what a neighbor does. Jesus asked him at the end of the story, which of the three proved neighbor to the man who fell at the hands of robbers? And the lawyer admitted that it was the Samaritan, the one that Jews considered unclean and unapproachable, that was the source of love. Go and do likewise, Jesus says. So this edgy scripture not only asks us to examine the ways in which we practice our love of God by loving our neighbor, but to question the assumptions we've made that put divisions between us. It seems we're all grappling with the same question: who is my neighbor? But the walls are becoming higher and more impenetrable as suspicion grows of those we don't know and fear develops. So placing this Samaritan figure as the protagonist was brilliant, and it was a twist to the plot. God shows up in the most unexpected people and places. And when we fail to see and respond with compassion, we fail to notice God's presence in the world. No one knew that victory would come from the disgrace of the cross. No one expected the power of God's glory to be revealed in suffering and vulnerability. Crossing established boundaries causes us to change the landscape of our hearts. Several years ago, I traveled with a group of young people on a mission to Philadelphia, to the Stenton Family Manor, a shelter for inner city homeless families. We had the opportunity to share in the lives of those who, for various reasons, had lost their home and their security and had been living on the streets. Now, this shelter accommodated all faiths and all nationalities, and so we had to be particularly sensitive about our program materials. Rather than talk about the love of Jesus, we had to be and do that love. Each morning, our mission team framed the day in prayer and scripture before we left for the shelter. And every evening ended with reflections and prayers for those we served. Our task was to provide a structured and fun day for the children at the shelter. But we soon learned that the connections we were forming was what was most important about what we were doing. What self-discoveries were made that week as we broke through our own biases, our own assumptions, the walls that we had built. Just to create those bonds of friendship, we had to come close. We took with us that week when we left changed hearts and perspectives. And hopefully we left behind the imprint of God's love on their hearts. Those whom we had considered other had much to teach us about our common humanity. Jesus knew that risking loving those who are different from us, especially those who are rejected, it transforms us all. So all of this makes me wonder today how we respond to the very difficult week that started with a celebration of our independence and ended in tragic conflict, violence, and isolation. Many of us are left feeling helpless at what to do to make a difference. Perhaps it begins with dismantling that old proverb, good fences make good neighbors. We must break through our divides and our fears, loving when the world expects us to hate, drawing near with compassion, even though we are afraid. Writer and theologian Sarah Miles, who established a widespread ministry for the homeless, said this: "I think we are being called to something harder than being conventional Good Samaritans. We are being called to understand ourselves individually as beaten, hungry, hurt, lost, and at the side of the road. We are called to reach the parts of ourselves that are strange and damaged and needy, and to receive love from people we have no reason to trust. And only then, in turn, being called to the second part, to go and do the same, knowing it will change us." This morning, I ask you to listen for where God is calling you simply to love God and love your neighbor. Take a moment to reflect on the ways that Christ has come to you in compassion when you were suffering. God's compassion for us flows through our hearts and changes us. Walls that are human-made cannot hold out God's radical love that is meant to bridge those divides between us. Now, we can leave this morning still feeling numb about the events of this week, or we can allow these words of Scripture to drop down into our hearts, renew us, and empower us to do something different. What will change if you live with the intention of crossing boundaries to make friends with people in low places? Reaching out is not only a matter of our Christian ethic, it's a matter of drawing closer to God. As we see Christ in the other, our hearts will be blessed by living the eternal life right here and now. Amen.